You're listening to Butchertown Rundown, a Racing Louisville podcast and the official podcast of the Lavender Legion. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Butchertown Rundown, a podcast about your favorite NWSL team, Racing Louisville FC. I'm Becky Morgan. That's Caitlin Whiteside. And as you can tell, because I'm the one doing this opening, Tom Benson is not with us today. He apparently had a little too much fun at the Racing Gotham game for Father's Day, so he's having a rest.
Yeah, we gave him the night off. We gave him the night off.
We did. I mean, we're so generous, you know, Caitlin and I. So yeah, Tom's not with us today, but we still have a great episode for you. Caitlin, how are you feeling?
I feel great after this week. You know, a couple wins. Definitely enough to lift your spirits.
Absolutely, 100%. So let's get right into it, and let's get into the starting line. And I feel like we've been playing so many games lately that instead of talking about like anybody else in the standings, we have like so many racing games to cover that is exactly what we're going to talk about today. So since our last podcast, Racing First on June 9th, played the San Diego Wave to a 0-0 draw. That was not the most exciting game, so I'm going to go right past it and go to our June 14th match for the Challenge Cup against the Houston Dash, where Racing won 3-0. And that was a wonderful game where first, Kayla Fisher scored her first professional goal off an assist from Ari Borges. And then only barely a minute later, who else but Savannah DeMello assist off Paige Monahan. DeMello took another shot with the outside of her right foot because, I mean, why not? Sav doing Sav things.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 73rd minute, off a set piece from Carson Pickett, Parker Goins again scored off a header. So just an all-around great game. Really fun. It was Bark in the Park, so, or Pups at the Pitch, whatever they call it here. But wonderful time, and it kept Racing perfect in the Challenge Cup. And then just earlier today, we got to watch Racing Louisville beat Gotham FC 2-0 off goals from, again, who else but Savannah DeMello in the 23rd minute. And then Tembi Katlana got her very first goal off an assist from Kirsten Davis in the 46th minute. They literally came back into the second half and it was like, what? There's a goal. Like, didn't even have time to sit and rest. And boom, they got one. And that was also lovely. So, Caitlin, this is a good stretch of games here.
It's a great stretch. And I hope that we can keep it up over these next few months. And yeah, we're not that far off of a playoff spot at the current moment.
No, we sure aren't. We are currently in eighth place. So we have moved up from ninth place where we were after last week. So I think actually the last time we had our podcast, we were in eighth. So we went down and then now we're back up. But by beating Gotham, we're currently in sixth place. We're only 3 points away from them. So we are only 3 points away from a playoff berth. And because we have the higher positive goal differential, we have +3, they have +1, that should they lose next week and we win, we would get the tiebreaker in goal differential and be in a playoff spot. And of course that would mean that like the Dash would have to lose or would have to only get a draw to get up to 18 points. Cause right now we have 15 points with a record of 3-3-6. We're just on an excellent streak. We have lost only one game in six in the regular season. That's pretty amazing. I think that when you add Challenge Cup games, that's only one game in eight now, I think. And then we've only had one goal scored against us in the last five games. And that was the one goal against the Spirit. That's really amazing.
Yeah, that's really, really impressive. It's a good day to be a racing fan. I don't know.
It's a good day to be a racing fan. And before we go any further, because this is still the starting line, I would like to actually jump over to the commercial break and just say racing is doing great, people. Listen to the stats we just gave. They're kicking butt. You're probably sick of hearing this, but bring a friend, bring anybody, bring someone. Just be like, yeah, just come to a game with me. Racing needs our support more than ever, and they have more than earned it with the play they're giving. So same old story, but we had, you know, what, 5,100 people at the game today. I think that is like now been proven to be racing's like baseline. We talked about this at the game we sat next to each other. So if that's like their standard, like we really need to raise it. We really need to get them closer to 6,000. And when they're on a run like this, you know, they deserve it more than ever.
Yeah. And I mean, I see people all the time go to Lou City games. Lou City gets consistent, huge crowds. And yes, they've been around for a lot longer, but this team is fun. Come out to the games. And I mean, racing will get there eventually, but not without people's support. So you got to bring other people, bring them into the mix. Yeah, let's get those attendance numbers up because these players deserve it.
And so many people, if they just go to a game, they end up being like, wow, you know, that was a lot more fun than I expected. Even if I know nothing about soccer, even if I didn't even know this team existed. So like, I mean, take a shot. Talk to a friend that, like, you don't even know if they like soccer. I'll invite them anyway. Tickets, you know, buying a Stupendlin ticket, like, the day before games, they're, like, $15. It's not much money. Find seats somewhere else. Just get in. Go to the game. We need to support our players as much as possible. So that's it. That's it for our commercial break. Let's go right into our prime cut. And, Caitlin, I have to ask you, with the stats we just gave, with, you know, racing only giving up one goal in five games, racing winning three of their last six regular season games and drawing two, only one loss, do you still think we're in a plateau?
Oh, Becky, I should have known that those words were going to come back to bite me. I will say after the Houston game, I had this similar feeling. I think you and I have talked about this, or maybe you brought it up in the pod last week, but you watched racing and you were like, they're going to win this game. And I'm confident in that. And I'm going to be honest, at that point, like when I said we'd plateaued, I did not necessarily feel that way yet. But with the Houston game and then with this game against Gotham, I started to feel it. I'm starting to feel a little bit more confident and that racing has what it takes to win when they need to. So I'm going to need to see if they can, how they do against North Carolina. But yep. I think we're maybe leaving the plateau a little bit. North Carolina is really going to signal to me if it's a big move off of the plateau, a big increase or not. But right now, I think maybe we're moving a little bit out of the plateau. I'm not going to say I was completely wrong, but maybe I was. We'll see.
I mean, is there anything you'd rather be wrong about? I mean,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd love to be wrong about that. I think this was a good start.
I really have felt confident in the team in these last couple games. You know, there were so many games in years past where you're just like, I have no idea what's going to show up. Just like last time, I'm not saying racing is just like shooting for the moon and they're like absolutely gonna like, they're never gonna lose again. Like, no, I definitely don't think that. But going into this Gotham game, I was like, they can be Gotham.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and Gotham was like briefly in first place not that long ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're still only what, like 2 points? I guess, no, now they're 4 points out of first place, but still, they're really up there. We're only two games out of first place, which is wild, or close. I don't know, maybe second now with Portland's win. I didn't check. I felt that we could beat Gotham. It wasn't like, I don't know who's going to show up. I don't know how well this is going to do or how well that's going to do. I mean, the thing that is always and will remain the concern is the offense. And the offense is kicking in, though. I mean, in the last two games, we saw two people who have never scored before for racing score goals, mm-hmm. Tembi and Kayla Fisher. And we saw Kirsten Davis, you know, get an assist, which I think mm-hmm. is a big deal. Racing had fewer shots on goal than Gotham in this game, but they still won. They still did what they needed to do and were smart and flooded the box. Like Savannah DeMella's goal was literally just because the ball was bouncing around and people are like, I don't know what's going on. And she like was on the ground, was like, fine, I'm just gonna pick up and kick the ball into the goal. And I mean, was it the best defending and goalkeeping? No, but I mean, it used to be the racing was on the side.
Right,
right.
Yes.
And it was because we had numbers in there. I mean, like Ari Wong, Sav, and then everybody else was like around the periphery. Like we were flooding the box the way we were supposed to, and they had all their defenders in the box. So it was chaos. But like, if you're creating chaos in your opponent's box, even if it's like 20 people are in it, like that's still better than what we've been able to do in the past. And so like, I'm seeing a team that believes they can win. And that's the biggest difference. And I like, okay, oh, we beat Houston 3-0 and they had rotated 8 of their players and we had rotated 3, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I'm sorry. Like, Racing needs those world victories. Racing needs to win those games so they can be like, we are a winning team on a winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, if you're gonna rotate your team against Racing, okay, well then we'll still take that win. Like, it doesn't make it less of 3 points to me.
Yeah.
So I don't like the way people have been kind of like, oh, well, it's not that impressive. Like,
yeah, my counterpoint to that is that Houston did not rotate their front line at all. They had Sanchez, Ordonez, and Ebony Salmon and on the field at the same time, I believe, right?
Yeah. I mean, they did. Technically Salmon is rotating on.
Okay, right.
But she's like a semi-regular star.
But they still couldn't score against us.
They couldn't score, I know. And they haven't been scoring that much. So like, for all our offensive woes, like we're still doing better than other teams. I mean, we have a +3 goal differential. The only teams that have a higher goal differential than us are the top 5 teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we are not... We should be doing better offensively. We should be scoring more goals with the shots that we're taking and how close we're getting to shots on goal. I mean, there's definitely finishing issues. I don't want to act like it's nothing there. Man, our defense has like completely changed. I mean, I feel like we could do every episode that is like, here's why Abby Ersig is important. I mean, I really liked this game too, because Ellie picking out, I mean, we're just focusing on the most recent game, but I do think it is like the most noteworthy game of the three. But, you know, Ellie Picayamsa rotated on for Julia Lester and did great. You know, we haven't seen Ellie get a start in a while. And so it was nice being like, yeah, we got some actual depth on our back line.
Mm-hmm.
That we'll hold this through, because, you know, like if we can hold them out and score one goal, even if it's a lucky goal, we've won that game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I truly feel confident with Racing being a winning team. Will they win every game? I don't know. Will they beat North Carolina, who is now pretty solidly in second place? Actually, teams 2 through 5 are all tied with 20 points, which is wild.
Yeah.
But, I mean, North Carolina has a +7 goal differential, so they're doing pretty well as well. And they're on a particularly hot streak. But, I mean, I definitely feel like our chances are the best they've ever been against them. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens, but I remain pretty firm in my belief that they have not been on a plateau, that they have been on a rise. It's not necessarily like a super strong rise, but they've been on a rise. I mean, we've never been, at least not for a long time, within 3 points of getting a playoff berth. I mean, like for the first time in like a month or longer, maybe 2 months, like you can actually see a pathway to the playoffs that's not like 3 games down the road. Like this has to happen, this has to happen, this has to happen times 5. Like, mm-hmm. Yes, Houston has to lose or draw. Yes, Gotham has to lose. And yes, we have to win. But that's not that much to ask, ultimately. So I'm pretty pleased.
So Becky, now that we have discussed the results of our last 3 games, we need to talk about some news that got leaked this week. Some big news involving one Savannah DeMello and the U.S. Women's National Team World Cup roster. So the roster itself was not leaked, but the inclusion of, I believe, Aubrey Kingsbury, Kelly O'Hara, and Sav DeMello was reported on. So what does this mean for Racing? Sav is not the only one going to the World Cup.
We have a lot of players going to the World Cup.
Right. And we're going to be without Sav, Tembi, Alex Chidiak, Kanu Wong, and Ari Borges.
Yep.
So, Becky, what do you think this means for Racing? Like, is this going to be a big test for them? We're on this hot streak now. Like, can they keep it up?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely going to be tough, and it's very helpful that going into North Carolina, we will still have all the players mentioned with the exception of Alex Chidiak, who has already gone to Australia because the Australian team was called in like super duper early. So all Australian players are already at camp as they try and figure out, like, they're still on a provisional roster. They're still working at their main roster. I mean, obviously, yeah, DeMello is going to be a major loss. I would be a little more concerned had Fisher not really had a great game in the 10 role. Ari is also going to be a huge loss. We were told today that apparently Tembi, Kanu, and Wong are all not going to leave until some point in July. So we should have them, at least some of them, for at least the game where we travel to Seattle for OL Reign, where OL Reign will be missing, I believe, definitely all their Americans, but
Canadians too, right?
The Canadians too, I think. And that's a substantial number of people. I mean, that's Jordan Heidema, that's Alana Cook, that's Rose Lavelle. It's probably going to be Megan Rapinoe. We don't know. It's Emily Sonnet. So, I mean, they have like a big load of people who are not going to be there, that even without DeMello, I actually feel pretty good about our chances. It's going to be tough. You know, if we had DeMello, I mean, I think that we were possibly going to like bulldoze through the Challenge Cup games, except I don't know if we would, because Houston isn't missing that many people. I mean, they're missing, like, they're going to miss Alicia Chapman and Sophie Schmidt. And then Kansas City is hardly going to lose anybody either. I mean, they're going to lose Dabinia, but not many players beyond that. So, like, despite the fact the Central Division has been pretty easy for us so far in the Challenge Cup, I think it's about to get a lot harder and a lot more evenly matched. But I still don't feel like we are going to be, like, deeply, horribly weakened in a way that we can't push through. And, like, ultimately, I mean, Sav going is such a big deal for the club. And it's a huge deal for her. I mean, like, let's not skip over that. I mean, it is so well earned on her part. Should she have been called in and gotten caps ahead of this? Like, yeah, we all obviously think that, but I am pleased that after saying that club play mattered, that they are rewarding a player who has absolutely arguably been the midseason MVP by giving her this. They need someone who's hot. They need someone who's hot really badly, and Sav is red hot right now. So huge for Sav. Ultimately, this is going to be huge for racing as well. I mean, having one of our players go to the World Cup, talk about things like how we need people to come into the seats, come into the stands. I mean, they're going to want to come and see World Cup player, right, for the mm-hmm. U.S. I mean, as much as we love having our World Cup players internationally, like, obviously the U.S., is who gets the most attention around here. So mm-hmm. the fact that Sav's star is already on the rise, even if it hurts us a little bit while she's gone, I do think ultimately, like, the end result of it will be so beneficial for racing that I can't even be that upset. How do you think it's going to impact us in the World Cup? Do you think we're going to plateau out even more, or do you think that we're going to be able to keep our streak going?
I feel like I was really counting on Sav being here. Mm-hmm. Because I genuinely did not think that Vlatko was going to call her in. I genuinely did not believe he would call someone who hasn't gotten a cap. Although that could change in the send-off game. If he lets her play in that game, then she will have one cap going to the World Cup.
But after she's already on the roster. So does that count? I don't know. I've debated that too, but I agree.
But so I think I was kind of counting on Sav to be here in the World Cup break. But the one thing that does kind of put me at ease a little bit is in the press conference today, both Tembi and Sav kind of talked about the depth of the team and how confident they were in there not necessarily being a slump during the World Cup because so many players were out, because every player, you know, comes in and contributes, whether it's 5 minutes, whether it's for 90 minutes. So the fact that the players all seem to be on the same page about, like, yeah, we're all here to do a job and we know our roles and it doesn't matter, you know, whether we get this many minutes or this many minutes, you know, we know where we stand here. And so the fact that the players seem to really believe in the depth of the squad, I think that's huge. And I think that is going to carry them through the World Cup break. So was I more confident when I thought that Sav would be staying?
Sure,
absolutely. But I'll knock on wood, but I really think that when Sav missed the Orlando game, everyone was like, oh man, racing relies so much on Sav DeMello, and they do. But I don't know if necessarily taking, I think that game was an aberration, right?
Yeah, me too.
So I don't know if missing Sav is going to be as devastating as we think that it is. It's going to be different, absolutely. But I really think that, especially since the team is on the streak now and on the rise a little bit, that they believe in themselves.
Yeah.
So even if you are a bench player, it's not going to matter because they believe in this team. They believe in the common goal. And I think that's going to carry them through. So I'm not as nervous about it.
I'm not either. And they have I don't know about regular season. We'll talk about those games that are coming up in a second. But as far as the Challenge Cup, it would be amazing if they made it the playoffs and Challenge Cup. They have a really good lead so far. They're the only team with a perfect record where they've won all three of their Challenge Cup matches. Kansas City is coming up pretty fast behind them. They have one loss and two wins, but they're only one goal below us in goal differential. So if we lose and they win, then, they have a chance of topping us and taking first place. But then again, the way the stats are going, it also seems fairly likely that in the Central Division, if Kansas City keeps it up, if we keep it up, that whoever's in second place in our division might get the second place. They might be the fourth team to be brought in. But Racing set themselves up for success. Like you said, they feel like a team that believes they can win. They feel like a team that has the right mindset. Even if they know that they're going to go in and things will be tough, our defense is not changing. Our defense is going to remain rock solid. So I feel confident there. That depth is not going to change at all. We're going to have Amina coming back. We might have Nadia coming back in this time. Let's face it. Some of our World Cup players aren't going to get that far in the World Cup and we'll be back before the end of the tournament. So it's not like we're waiting until August for everybody. But I agree. We're definitely going to lose a lot when we lose DeMello and when we lose Ari in particular, when we lose Wong and all. But I believe in this team more than I've believed in this team. And more importantly, they believe in themselves more than they've believed in themselves. And so that's big. And also, as important as the Challenge Cup is and how important it has been for us to get that winning attitude and morale, most of the World Cup is going to be those the next three Challenge Cup games where we play Kansas City, Chicago, and Houston one more time each. If they go to hell, yeah, I'd be kind of sad. I want us to do well in the Challenge Cup. I think that's a really good chance for us to get something, as we've talked about in past episodes, but I'm not going to be heartbroken. In the time that at least Sav is going to be gone and Ari is going to be gone, because they're the two that are definitely leaving, I believe, on the 26th or right around there. And Chidiak too, of course. We are going to be playing OL Reign on July 1st in Seattle. And then we are going to be playing Kansas City on July 7th in Kentucky at home. And then we are going to be playing, there's a big long break for the World Cup where we're going to be playing Challenge Cup games. And then on August 19th, we're going to be playing Angel City at Lynn Family Stadium. And then after that, no matter what happens, everybody will be back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not, I don't know, that's not that bad. I do think that we can beat OL Reign, or at least get a point out of them with all their people gone, their huge swath of players gone. I honestly think Kansas City is going to be one of the hardest games here, truly, which it seems kind of backwards, despite the fact that they're staying low. They're doing a lot better, as their players are coming back. They're getting Morgan Goutreau back. I think if Elizabeth Ball isn't back, she's about to be back. Kristen Hamilton's back and doing really well. So, Kansas City is going to be tough, but not, we know we can beat them. I think we're going to be confident they're going to have the chip on their shoulder to beat us.
Right.
And so I think that we might have a step above there. And then Angel City, they've been so inconsistent and we have a hard time beating them, but I still think we can do it. If Thompson is still gone for them and then we're missing DeMello, and I guess they could conceivably still be missing Allie Riley and a few other people. June Endo could still be gone. Either way, I think that who we both lose, Angel City and us, will keep us level. If we're starting level or pretty even, I don't think one of us is losing players that will drastically drop us below the other one. So I don't think much is going to change. I think it's going to be a fairly normal Racing Angel City matchup. I feel good about it. It's not like we're playing Portland that's lost no players, or North Carolina that's at full strength during this time without DeMello. So yeah, of course it's going to hurt us, but every team is going to be hurt, right? Every team is losing players. So, you know, it is what it is. And Jay has been so dynamic.
Yes.
Fisher looked good. I mean, and like I keep saying, our defense just is kicking ass, you know? But I really feel like I feel pretty good. I mean, I can't believe this. I'm not used to feeling this good about racing.
Well, they've proven that they can win and that they have what it takes to hold on to a win. Not as much as we have wanted them to.
But recently they have.
Recently, yeah, absolutely. But they've shown it. Because to me, it was always like, well, show me. You are a winning team, but show me. I need to see the evidence, you know, because they had that belief. They said they had that belief, but I wasn't seeing the evidence for that. Now that I've seen it more, and now that they're actually getting results, I feel like we can beat anybody almost. And I mean, you saw that. That's another thing about this league. We saw it when Angel City beat San Diego. Angel City is like at the bottom of the table. San Diego is at the top. Any team can beat any team. And like when you're not winning, you're just like, okay, whatever. But when you are, when you're kind of on the rise as racing is, you know, that's really comforting. And it's like, yeah, that gives them confidence.
And I mean, you make a good point where like San Diego lost to Angel City in part because I think that they underestimated Angel City and the energy and Angel City was going to come with, and they were at home. You know, teams are still underestimating racing, and they will underestimate them even more with Ari and DeMello. So if we can keep our mentality right, I think that we could have an edge just because of that. At this point last year, we were in like about to hit like one of the worst points in like low points, Naders in racing's history. Like we're coming up on Phil the Fam and then like the Chicago like horrible loss and, you know, a string of, I can't remember if it was three losses in a row. I think it was, but it was also, you know, just painful draws where we were giving up a goal in the first 5 minutes and then we were having to fight back. And if we got a draw, it's because we scratched back a point.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have not been in that position recently at all, except against
Washington.
And then, of course, we lost to North Carolina. And then we lost to Orlando. But, I mean, Orlando and North Carolina are only two losses all season. We've only lost twice.
Portland.
Oh, so I'm sorry. So we've lost three. Mm-hmm. But still, we've only lost three. That's better than it was last year. And we have three wins. And it took us, God, until like late August last year to get a third win?
September. I'm pretty sure it was
September. I mean, because we got three out of four at the very, very end.
Phil the Fam was in August. I remember this. And then it was bad until like halfway through September.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So yeah, I mean, we're doing much better because like compared to last year.
Yeah.
And I mean, the fact that we're not giving up the exception of Washington, we're not giving up goals early. Like it seemed like every single game last year in the first 5 minutes, we were giving up a goal. I mean, it was insane. And we were always playing on the back foot. And the fact that we've now had multiple games that Katie has had what, three or four straight shutouts now?
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. I guess three, because four games ago would have been the 1-1 draw.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, like, that's phenomenal. We're winning games and we're shutting out teams. We've like the thing that we had to learn in the beginning of the year was how to win games. Well, we've learned how to win games. We've learned how to hold on to leads. We've learned how to keep people out. So, you know, that's just so hopeful for the future, too. Like, I mean, let's say we don't make playoffs this year. Let's say we don't do what we want to and we have a hard time during the World Cup, whatever. I still feel like we've learned how to win games in a way that we have never learned before. So like next year with, you know, all our key players signed for multiple years, like we're so set up to be like, there's no question in my mind that we're going to be better even than we are now next year. And I definitely when the season ended or this time last year, I didn't feel that way about this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just generally, I feel really good about what racing is putting together. And yes, has Savannah been like the cornerstone of so much stuff? I don't know. We were set up in the press box today, Caitlin and I, because it was so freaking hot and sunny during the day that we were like, you know what? We have press passes. We're going to sit on the nice shaded patio and watch the game from a bird's eye view. And we were talking to Austin Buchanan, who does data analysis for both teams. And he was saying briefly, he's like, you know, Savannah's incredible. She is absolutely deserving all the accolades she gets. But he was like, I would put my money on, without a question, the most important person being Abby Ersig on this team. And that Abby Ersig is going to win us more games by keeping other players out and keeping us organized. And we're not losing Abby. So losing, like going back to your earlier question, like, yeah, losing DeMelo is going to be tough. But I mean, we still have Abby Ersig. We still have Carson Pickett. Laura Millay, I mean, she's been getting overshadowed. She has just been killing it. And like, poor thing's getting like thrown around. I mean, there's like at least one part in each game where poor, like you see Lauren, like a replay, just like rolling, like she's rolling down a hill, like head over heels. Like, because someone just like shoved her over so hard and like body checked her. We're going to have Jaylen, you know, unless if like there's a real shock on the roster for the World Cup, which
yeah.
I would have been leaked if it was going to happen. As we've learned this year, defense wins games, and our defense is going to stay completely rock solid. So I'm feeling good about that. Okay, so like we've covered DeMelo in depth then. Who besides DeMelo do you think is going to be the biggest loss for Racing during this World Cup period?
I think looking at the list of players that we mentioned earlier, it's got to be without a doubt Ari Borges.
Yeah, I agree.
And if Brazil does as well as people are thinking that they will, she could be gone for longer.
I agree.
So that's definitely going to not hurt us, but we will notice a difference without her.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, Ari does a lot of the dirty work that sets other people up. I mean, I think like early in the season in that first home game when she scored that absolute, I mean, like that's that goal was so beautiful off her laces. I mean, it could, even with the incredible goals we've seen from Savannah DeMelo, that could still win goal of the year for Racing. You know, it could win goal of the year in the NWSL, honestly. It was so perfect. The curve on it, I mean, picture perfect. You know, she hasn't done that again, but that's because she's been busy doing all the dirty work. Like Jaylen has said that like she feels she can really go after it. And like in this game today, like you'd see like Jaylen all the way up the left wing, like taking on Kelly O'Hara. And it's like, Jaylen, what are you doing? Like you're way out of position. But Ari would drop back, and they have such a good relationship together. And then also like Ari connecting with, you know, our central defenders, if they want to go up the center, Ari connecting with DeMelo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has been such a complete player in the midfield, both defensively and offensively, that even though, you know, she hasn't been scoring all the goals like DeMelo has, she's been setting up the goals. She's been creating chances. She's been drawing penalties. She's mm-hmm. been drawing like set pieces in really dangerous areas. So like, yeah, we're gonna miss Ari a lot. And I don't think we're going to quite realize how much we miss her until she's gone.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate statement. I'm trying to think of like who on the roster is a replacement for her, like Baggett or?
Yeah, I think Baggett. I also would be surprised if we do something like put Holloway in as a or Lester in as a, either of them in as the other CB. And then mm-hmm. put Ellie next to Jay.
Oh, I would like to see that.
And allow Jay to be the 8 and Ellie be the 6.
Yeah.
I think that could be really fun. In the one game we did that, like Jaylen was just like, whoosh. Like I can't even remember what game it was, but we were like, it was against Angel City.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And she was like going up and tackling people like right outside of the box, like, ha ha. You're like, Jaylen, you're having fun. So I'd love to see Jay be an 8 again, even not like if they do a double pivot or something like that. That's still, I think, one possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Fisher would go. I don't think there's hardly any question that Fisher is going to go in the 10. And then Ekic, I guess, will help. And Goins and all. I mean, thank God Goins is getting hot. Like, she has so much confidence on the pitch and everything. She's now gotten more minutes in this last game. But I think in my last article, I don't remember the exact number of minutes, but in only 5 appearances and under 90 minutes in all those appearances collected, she scored 3 goals.
Yeah, that's huge.
That is huge. And like, even if she's a super sub, I mean, I think that she has a lot of potential to really be a game changer late in games. And I definitely think she'll earn, I hope she earns a start during the Challenge Cup. I think she deserves it. But I mean, there's worse things to be than an absolutely rock solid super sub. And you know, you're going to get minutes. And Kim seems to really like her in that role because she is so reliable. I mean, I'd like to see Davis score more. That's been frustrating. You know, she scored at least like the one goal Little Angel City, and it was like, man, she's really coming alive and she hasn't been doing as much. Hopefully the Challenge Cup will give her some time to really shine, but
she got an assist today. That was nice.
An assist today, and that was a beautiful
give
and go with Tembi. So yeah, I mean, I really love that, seeing that for Davis. But in terms of other players that we're going to miss, I mean, I guess Wong is the next player we'd miss most. I mean, it's to me between Wong and Tembi, but like, it's so hard. Katlana is still just coming back that it's hard to say. But I mean, Wong isn't an enigma sometimes because like, she gets dispossessed a lot.
Yeah.
And she also holds on to position and moves the possession, then moves it forward, or like forces bad passes so often that it's like, oh, she's evening out. And I mean, she'll have absolute like amazing games, and then games where she completely disappears. She's been playing a little more consistently to me. So like, we're still going to miss like that special like nimbleness. I mean, she's so good on the ball that I think losing both her and Ari, actually her, Ari and DeMello, those are probably like the three best players with the ball at their feet. That's going to be a little hard, but I don't know. Honestly, I truly believe that Ari and DeMello are going to be bar none the biggest losses. And unfortunately, well, I mean, Wong, I think, also has a good chance to go pretty far in the World Cup. I think China has a chance to do well, but I think those are the three teams that run the risk of having players gone the longest as well. Like, I don't expect South Africa or Nigeria to make it too far. And so, I mean, that might mean that we have Tembi and Kanu back before too long as well. So, Caitlin, as we're wrapping up our talk about, you know, these games, and before we move on to another prime cut, what do you think we need to see from racing to keep this momentum up against their match against North Carolina and OL Reign, the two games that are going to be played before we record our next episode?
So in the North Carolina game, we have got to get a handle on Caroline. She's on a hot streak right now, and we have to shut that down. She is easily their biggest threat. So I think if we can figure out how to stop her, then the rest of it will fall into place, because I mean, it did against Gotham today. We stopped Lynn Williams, and Lynn Williams has been on a hot streak this entire season.
Yeah.
So whether that means playing Ellie back there again, which we know that that was partially because Lester had a small injury, but also Kim wanted to utilize Ellie's ability to kick long balls over the top. If we need to do that again, is North Carolina, do they usually press high like Gotham does?
Gotham is like the high pressing team.
Yeah.
And I guess so does OL Reign should be, but that, whether they've been doing that successfully recently, I don't know. I mean, in all the time I've watched them, I don't really know what their style is.
Right.
I mean, recently their style has been get the ball to Caroline, she will shoot, score. Like,
exactly.
I mean, that has been, except, I mean, we saw, at least if you watched any of the game that aired yesterday, though, I mean, like, Fox had a really good shot. I mean, they've been, North Carolina is so confident right now. Like, our confidence has really raised, but, like, North Carolina's has too. So I think it's going to be a really, really tough game. Luckily, we're going to have everybody with us, but, I mean, it's going to be tough. I think it's definitely going to be our toughest game of, like, the next six we play. So if we don't have a perfect result from this, I'm not going to be devastated. I mean, the last two times I believe we've gone to North Carolina, we've lost 5-0 or 5-1. So, hey, if we lose 2-1 to them again, I'm not going to be happy.
No.
But I'm not going to be heartbroken either. So, like, I don't want to be shut out by them. I want to score on them. I definitely want to at least get a point, but I mean, it's going to be a tough game. I mean, I think the key to us beating North Carolina is going to be 100% our defense. Like, if we could get a 0-0 draw, I'd be perfectly happy if we just like completely shut them out and get a point that way. I think the key to OL Reign is actually going to be our offense. I don't think that they're going to have a very potent defense, and I think that their offense is also going to be a lot more toothless than it has been with some of the players they're missing. So like North Carolina, I want to see us go in 100% defensively minded, even if it means that we don't play in the high press that we always play in, play a little more conservatively. Mm-hmm. Not saying like go into a low block and just like roll over and do nothing, but I wouldn't be upset if we had a defensive minded game strategy where, oh, Lorraine, I want to see us just like go for it.
Right. I think that would be smart because we're still going to have Tembi and Kanu, correct? They're not leaving until after.
That's what Jeff Grew told us during media today, because we were asking who's going, like when people are going and how that's working. And he said that Wong, Kanu, and Tembi are going a lot later than the other players. So that kind of surprised me. Let me just check the date. Yeah. Oh, it's July 1st. I can't remember if someone is leaving on July 1st. I can't remember who he said. So we might be missing one of them, but I think we should have two of them at least.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll have Kanu and I think we'll have Katwana.
Yeah, that's going to help for sure. And yeah, they have how many national team players, U.S. national team players at least, who are getting released early? I mean, four?
There's at least four players that are going. So we beat them in preseason when they basically played their rotated roster against us. And we beat them 2-0. And we came close to beating them with their full roster. And I think that if we replayed that game today, we would win it.
Yeah.
We wouldn't go, it wouldn't be a 2-2 draw. So yeah, I don't know. Like, I know this sounds probably not the most exciting episode because I keep saying it, but I'm feeling really good about our chances. I the game I feel the worst about, like I said, is North Carolina. I think that's going to be really tough. But I feel good about ORE. I really feel more positive than I thought I would with Racing Mule to weather the storm of losing to Mello.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's pretty good. So let's move on. And we're just going to briefly talk about some less fun stuff. And for just to wrap up our prime cuts of this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about the Juneteenth controversy with today's game and how this match against Gotham was widely billed as a SpongeBob Father's Day game when it's the day before Juneteenth and every other team that played a game today that was a home team made it a Juneteenth celebration. So like, I think that some of the context that some people are missing, and I will address why they're missing it in a minute, is that Racing always has an Ollie night as their kind of like Black excellence celebration every year in the month of June. They've done it the last 3 years. This year, they also did it 2 weeks ago. I can't remember. It was the game against San Diego, wasn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
It's a game against San Diego where they had special warm-up kits and they're going to get signed and auctioned out to support, local African-American community organizations. So that, yeah, I mean, that's great. But like, what I've tried to talk to people about is that like no one outside of Louisville understands that like Muhammad Ali, or many people don't understand that Muhammad Ali and Ali Knight is about his like as much about his activism as a Black American in the civil rights movement as it is him being a boxer. Like to mm-hmm. people on the outside and they hear it's Ali Knight, they think that we're just like, yeah, there was a famous boxer in our city and we're celebrating him. Like they're not marketing it. If it is meant to be the equivalent of their Juneteenth celebration, they need to market it that way and they're not. So that like, I don't blame people for not knowing that this was not like what that was supposed to be because, or that was what this was supposed to be because it just was not made clear to anyone. And they just expect you to have this knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the other thing too is that like Racing did do some Juneteenth stuff for this game. You know, they did sing the Black national anthem, lift every voice and sing, and it was lovely. I actually wish we had that woman sing every single game because she
had one of
the loveliest voices I've ever heard anybody sing here. And they had the warm-up shirts and everything. Was it enough? No, but like again, you know, Racing didn't make it clear that they were doing some of this stuff again. So like the criticism they're getting, like, I'm sorry, like that is your own optics and your own mishandling of the situation. And I know everybody's saying, and I've said it myself, like, well, why did Loose City get a Juneteenth festival when Racing supposedly gets nothing and are playing a game on June 18th, the day before Juneteenth? And Racing's response, and I do want to make it clear, actually, it's the club's front office. Like the Racing staff are only sporting staff. So like Racing itself as a team was not involved in the planning of these theme nights or anything. That's all handled by the larger front office that oversees both clubs. So like, this is not like Ryan Dell, for example, did not plan this.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that they had was that like the men's Juneteenth, like this is supposedly what I heard, that the men's Juneteenth festival and Racing's Ali Night were supposed to be like two parts of the same event, like celebrating the same thing. Well, if you don't advertise it that way, if you don't say that this is night one of our Juneteenth celebration and this is night two of our Juneteenth celebration, well, then nobody's going to know it. And frankly, like, I don't know. I think it's awfully convenient to say that it was planned to be that way once everybody complains about it. Like, Racing, you have gotten your soccer stuff together. And again, soccer holdings, you've gotten Racing's soccer so much better. You've hired excellent people. You've hired Bev. You've hired Ryan. You've gotten great players. Like, yes, the sporting side, absolutely going for it. But like, you need to get your marketing stuff in order.
Yes.
Or that you are going to run into this over and over and over again. So like, excuse my language, Racing, soccer holdings, marketing, get your shit together. People are criticizing you. And even if you're like, oh, well, we don't quite deserve it because this, like, you do deserve it because you didn't explain it well enough. So like, it pains me to say, like, you walked into this, like you laid this bed and now you're dealing with the fallout, even if your intentions were meant to be better.
And I did want to kind of point to a larger issue that we're seeing that this specific instance kind of highlights, and that is the continued insistence on joining Lou City and Racing. They are both under soccer holdings. However, people in the NWSL, I guarantee you, most of them do not care about Lou City. They do not care if it was part of a larger, meant to be part of a larger celebration. No one knows that. They don't care. And they're missing that. That's a huge piece of context that they're missing if you're not from here.
Even if you are from here, there's so many people that just follow Racing. I mean,
yeah, exactly. So you cannot treat both teams as one big entity because they are not. And So we do say, you know, you can't treat both teams the same. This is one instance where I wish they would have treated both teams the same and given both teams a Juneteenth night specifically. You can't just roll it all into one and say that, oh, that's fine, we got all our bases covered. Well, no, you don't, because the WOSO world, we keep saying this, and I'm going to keep saying it until someone listens to me. The WOSO world is so vastly different from the USL. It is so men's soccer, women's soccer different.
Cultures are so drastically different.
That's not hard to comprehend.
No,
so,
especially 3 years in.
3 years in, yes. So start treating it as such. Like, I'm so sick of us talking about this. It's little stuff like this and optics and marketing. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. From the club.
You can't be doing that.
Thank you, Becky. FO Racing FO.
So close to saying it that I thought you were going to say it, so I had to bring it up. But no, I mean, I 100% agree with you, where like, I think one of the biggest problems with the club is that all their marketing, ticketing, everything that is not directly sporting is handled by one group that is like, we're planning everything, so we're going to plan this on this day and that on that day, even though one is Racing and one is on Lou City. It's like, no, you have to understand that like, outside of your building, and not even outside of your building, like outside of like your little cubicle office cluster, nobody sees the teams that way. Mm-hmm. And like, you have to be explicit in your intentions. And I do think, I mean, I don't even want to give them the benefit of the doubt here, but I do think that there is a somewhat logical argument that this game on June 19th was Racing's one game on big CBS, and it was Father's Day. CBS owns Nickelodeon and SpongeBob, that they said, this has to be the day because we're not going to give you this sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not on the national broadcast, like if it's on Paramount Plus, you're not getting this. So you're doing it on CBS or not. But in that case,
that's still an NWSL problem.
But you still should have explicitly made Ali Night like a Juneteenth celebration then. Like, I mean, it's just a little more foresight, and this could have been handled. And I know that this isn't excusing it for Racing, and the specific people that did this, who I don't even know. I don't even know if the NWSL planned this or if Soccer Holdings planned this. I know literally nothing about how this happened. This is all conjecture. But like, I mean, I know that they have a very small staff and that they're being asked to do a lot covering both these teams. But like, that's also like Soccer Holdings' fault, like where they need to like give enough staff to be able to manage stuff like this, to be able to like see things clearly enough to just plan better.
Give each team its separate marketing staff. I know they won't do that. They haven't done it yet.
They need to. Even if they have like one manager, like they need to have at least like a marketing person here and a marketing person there, mm-hmm. to handle, like to be the advocate for the side, each side. And I mean, again, this is just like the thing that makes me so angry about this is like, not only are the optics bad, but it's just so avoidable. You know, this is just another case of racing's, I mean, I don't know if it's like complete not caring. Like, I mean, I don't know whether they just made a mistake and didn't see things or if they like literally do not care. But like, this is just another instance where they've shot themselves in the foot again. And they've brought this bad publicity and this negative. And I mean, I'm not saying negative, like these people are bad for having these opinions. No, I think that they're fully justified in their opinions. But racing is getting bad publicity and getting derisive comments about them on social media because they walked right into this. I mean, they stepped directly in it, and that is just so frustrating to me. You think these lessons would be learned by now, especially because I mean, again, racing has made so much progress. So many of the people they've hired, you know, like I mean, they had to know when they're hiring Ryan that he was going to push them. You know, they hired someone they knew would push them to be better. They didn't just hire someone they knew would be like go along with everything they wanted. So I do believe they're trying to be better, but then they still just utterly drop the ball in ways that are like frankly offensive to people. And that is just, that makes it really embarrassing as a fan at times. You know, like it makes it a lot harder to have a good time when you're like, people are really pissed at my club and I'm frankly pissed at them too. Right. Like,
well, and the worst part is that, you know, this game was huge. It was on big CBS, big audience, and racing had a great performance, put on a great performance. It was a great game. And this is what people are talking about.
Yeah. And it's what people are going to remember about this game.
Yeah.
And like, again, like, you did this to yourself, racing. I mean, I don't know how much a role the NWSL had in it or not planning it. I mean, I feel like I'd be kind of shocked if racing could make a deal with Nickelodeon on their own. Like, I don't really think they have that clout.
Right.
But at the same time, like someone somewhere should have been like, hey, this is a really stupid idea. Or there are ways to make it better and we have to do that more explicitly. So I don't know. I'm just, again, I feel like we take two steps forward and then a step back constantly. And yeah, I mean, and it sucks to have people like dunk on racing and have you be like, yeah, you should be dunking on them. They really messed up here. So,
mm-hmm. But again, Becky, we bring all this up because we want the team to succeed. We want the team, yes, to do better. We're not dunking on them for the sake of dunking on them. We are calling them out because we want to be better.
And I truly believe that even the people who are like being snarky and angry about it online also want racing to do better. Like ultimately they want women's soccer to succeed and they want the teams to do better. They're not like racing should be obliterated from the planet because they made this mistake. They're like, we're very disappointed in you and they have every right to be very disappointed. Just learn from this, racing. I hope you're already planning next year now and making sure that this does not happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And that you actually like address it. Like, I mean, yeah, I mean, I can understand how you'd be embarrassed and like, oh, maybe it'd be easier just like to not talk about it. Like, no, I hope you're talking about this. I hope you're taking it seriously. Even if you had good intentions, and again, I have no idea what anybody's intentions were. I have no inside knowledge about anything that happened here. I hope you're at least able to look at yourselves and be like, you can have good intentions and still hurt people. And like, we need to do a better job of, we just need to be better. We need to be better at this stuff. We need to be much more aware and we need to like live up to what people's expectations are for us. So, and I also hope that they're not just like, well, it's not racing fans that are angry about this because like, hi, I'm angry about it. So yeah, do better, racing. Like, we obviously, we love you. Obviously we wouldn't have a freaking podcast dedicated to you. We didn't love you, racing. We wouldn't do everything we did if we didn't love the club, but like, stop embarrassing us, please.
Yes, please.
All right. I think we have definitely covered that, let out some of the frustrations, because this has like really been building in me for this last week. I've been really upset, kind of angry about it. But let's move on to happier things. And what could make us happier than the Mint Mix?
Ah, the Mint Mix. I always say this is so much more fun when racing wins. I mean, it just is. So first song in the Mint Mix this week is Don't Stop Me Now by Queen.
Yeah, please don't stop them now. racing?
No, stop yourself definitely down. Not. And this one is mainly for Sab DeMello because she is on a hot streak. No one stopped that. Yes, having a good time. And so yes, Don't Stop Me Now by Queen. Next song I have is Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger by Daft Punk.
Love it.
Because we are just harder, better, faster, stronger all across the board, especially on our defense, but just as a team in general. And then the last song that I have, this was suggested to me by one Becky Morgan, I will just say.
Yeah.
It's Sweet Victory from SpongeBob SquarePants. It's a little the nod. Movie. The movie, was it on the show too?
I thought it was just the movie. I don't know.
We don't know.
But, I'm sorry. I don't know that much about SpongeBob, but I do know the song.
But it's Sweet Victory. You know, today's victory was awfully sweet. So we had to add that. And that's the Mint Mix for this week. Again, we are confusing the algorithm at every turn. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
I mean, that alone is a sweet, sweet victory for all of us.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Spotify is so confused. But we're having a good time. Don't stop us now when we do it. All right. So let's move on to 3 points. And because we are missing Tom, we're going to do it a little differently. You know, it's always nice when we can each have a point. But this time, because racing has gotten so many points in the last 2 weeks, Caitlin and I are each going to give 3 points. And they're going to be really quick. And they're just simply, to end this on a positive note, what are 3 things that have made us especially happy in the 3 games that have been played since we last had an episode. So these can be anything. They can be really simple, basic things. And the first one that I'm going to list is Amina Ekic got her first minutes in the Houston Challenge Cup game. And I mean, she barely had any. She's still just coming back. She didn't even dress for this game, I think, because her coming back is going to be so gradual still. Because, I mean, it was such a bad injury. Like, I mean, you can't play soccer in a broken ankle. And it was, mm-hmm. you know, in a very bad place. So the fact that it's taken half the season, but we're seeing the hometown hero back on the pitch. And hopefully we're going to see her minutes increase throughout, like, the World Cup break. That is something that makes me very happy.
Yeah, my first thing that makes me very happy is something that I haven't actually witnessed in person. I have to see it in pictures whenever it happens. But
oh, I know exactly what you're going to say.
It's Ari crowning Sav every time she scores a goal. I love this, but I swear it's like a fever dream. Like, I guess I'm so busy just celebrating the goal, or they don't do it for very long because I don't see it. I don't see it happen. So, but again, I need to reiterate, I love that they do it. You know, I love their relationship on the field. It just keeps getting stronger. And I hope that it just becomes a thing that they do every time Sab scores, which I'm hoping will be a lot more.
I will also say that we were sitting next to each other in the game, and like, I pulled up the picture from the Gotham game of Ari crowning Sav. Caitlin was so angry. She was like, again? I missed it again? And I missed it completely too, because I think we're watching like the replay, or we're just like cheering like, yay! Like,
yeah.
We need to be better. We need to be better, Caitlin. We both failed in this, because I've never like noticed it happening live either, and I've always seen the pictures like, what, how could I miss that? It's sticking to today's game, but I am just so happy that Tembi got her first goal. I love that it was an assist from Katie too, but going back, and I was just looking at some of the pictures from the game briefly, there's this great picture of Jaylen just like full body hugging Tembi, and maybe even like lifting her up off the ground as everybody else is running, and like, it just summed up how happy this team is for each other when they succeed. They're just so supportive. I mean, this is like, we always hear about how great the locker room is, how much heart this team has, but it's moments like this that like you really see. And then I mean, also with your last example with Ari and Sav having that little thing, like, I mean, it just shows how affectionate they are with each other and how real the love is between them. And I don't know, I just love seeing our players succeed. I love that our players love seeing our other players succeed.
Yeah.
And it makes me overjoyed. I love Tembi. She is one of my favorite personalities. Love every time we get a chance to talk to her, and to have her hit this milestone before she goes the World Cup. I'm thrilled.
I couldn't agree more. My next point is it's from the Houston game when Racing scored 2 goals in stoppage time. That was so impressive. I won't repeat what I said when that second goal went in because it is a 4-letter word, but just imagine I was like, what the bleep? Because it happened so fast that I just could, literally the smoke had not cleared from the first goal.
That was amazing.
And they scored again. And I just could not believe it was happening. But I loved that. I loved the intensity and just the willingness to just go for it, even in stoppage time. That was great to see.
So my third point officially is the fact that we've had 3 clean sheets in a row, but unofficially, this is a little convoluted and no one else will find this funny, but I still have to share it. So in one of Racing in their first season, when they were still doing stuff before the game at 10:20, my sister and I met a dog named Tony, who looks exactly like Bruno, except he has porky legs.
Bruno is Becky's dog, by the
Bruno
way.
Bruno is my dog. And he looks exactly like they're twins, except Tony has corgi legs and is really outgoing. And Bruno is like very shy and timid. And so for like the last 2.5 years, my sister and I have had jokes about Tony and Bruno and how they're like Italian cousins and like, oh, they're just like opposites of each other. Like, I don't know. We just think it's hysterical that they're Tony and Bruno. And then folks at Pups at the Pitch, I saw Tony again and I was so excited that it was actually like one of my highlights. And I really embarrassed my sister and my niece by like running up and being like, oh my God, is that dog Tony? And the owner was like, yes. I was like, we've had jokes for years about him. So, I mean, it delights me that Tony and Bruno both have matching Racing Louisville bandanas now, and that they're both diehard Racing Louisville supporters. So Bruno did not make Pups on the Pitch because he is too nervous and would have had a nervous breakdown on the drive there. So unfortunately, Bruno and Tony did not meet, but just the fact that I got to see Tony again, That brought me a lot of joy on a day that was already joyful.
I love that. Good for you, Tony. You go, Tony.
We love Tony.
We love Tony here.
And Bruno, of course.
Of course. And so my final point is Kayla Fisher scored her first goal.
Yep.
Her first professional goal in the Houston game. And I believe all of her family was there. So that was really awesome for her. And I just thought in general in that game, it was really exciting to see the raw talent that Kayla Fisher has.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you can tell at times she's a rookie, like maybe she takes an extra touch that she shouldn't take or, you know, holds onto the ball a little bit too long. But the talent is there and you can slowly see it being developed and see her being molded as a player. And then to see that come together and for her to finally get a goal, that was great to see. And I think it's really promising, a really promising sign of what's to come with this team.
Yeah, we didn't talk that much about the Houston game. It was a great game. And you're right, Fisher just dominated. I mean, she scored a goal. Yeah, sure. But like she had numerous other chances. I think she created 2 or 3 out of our 5 big chances more than anybody else. She had more shots. She had more shots on goal than like anybody on either team. I mean, she just like, she had herself a game. We heard she was like Tall Sev and she played like Tall Sev against Houston. So I hope that gives her the confidence, that gives her the boost that she needs, because yeah, that was a real special game seeing her play that way. All right, well, we're now at the finish line, Caitlin. We have 2 weeks before we have a new episode. There's a lot that's going to happen. Players are going to leave for the World Cup. We're going to have a couple big games. Hopefully, I mean, next time we talk, we could conceivably be in a playoff berth.
Yeah, let's go.
Perp is big.
The perp is perping.
It is. It is.
Largely.
Very, very largely. Yeah, so I'm not as witty as Tom, so sorry, everybody, but I will just say, this is fun, Caitlin. Let's do it again.
Let's. And go big perp.